Awesome. Well, and today we're talking about winning in parenting.
Yes.
Winning in parenting. Amen. Everybody was screaming when we talked about marriage. Winning in parenting is kind of quiet. It's going to be a quiet and deep day today.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
But this is important. Now, I want to say this. If you're not a parent, if you're single, please don't tune us out. This is for you as well. This is the time to take notes. This is when you begin taking notes and learning.
That's it. And we're here to touch the next generation too, right? So this is for everybody.
Amen. And if you're not a parent, you know somebody who's a parent. We have a parenting crisis in America today. So you as a believer need to know what we're talking about today so you can be able to teach people in your community, guide the people in your family. And so today is very important. Please take some copious notes. We're going to be going fast. And then at the end of this service, Impact, we're going to pray and believe God that every child that has run away from home, that every child that's not walking with the Lord, God's going to apprehend them this year in Jesus' name. Yes. Somebody say amen. Now, next week, somebody shout next week. Come on, March is the third month of the year. Get ready for something powerful. Yes. Amen. Ooh, get ready for March. Turn to your neighbor and just tell you don't know what's coming next month. Tell them you better go home and fast this week and prepare. Well, we're beginning a brand new series called Galatians Grace. Somebody say Galatians Grace. And we have another title, and it's simply The Grace Life. I want to introduce you to the secret of our lives, the secret of this ministry, and it's the grace life. Somebody say amen. Now, we're doing something we've never done before here at Impact Church. We're going to be reading the book of Galatians together. Somebody say amen. So week one, we're talking about the grace life. So this week, leading up to week one, I want everybody here to read Galatians chapter 1. Can we do that? Galatians chapter 1. This is the grace book in the Bible. And then week two, we're going to talk about grace for greatness. And then that week, we're going to be reading Galatians chapter 2. Then we're going to have a guest speaker on week 3. We're going to be reading Galatians 3. And then we're going to have grace balanced on week 4. We're all going to be reading Galatians chapter 4 leading up to that Sunday. And then on the final Sunday, grace to stand, we're going to be reading two chapters, Galatians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 6. Somebody say amen to that. Listen, we're going to read Galatians together, and I promise you at the end of the month, there's going to be miracles in this place. There's going to be breakthroughs in this place. Things you've been waiting for a long time, God is going to release them. Come on, I need somebody to celebrate just a little bit in this place. Amen. But today is all about parenting.
Yes. So today we're going to be talking about intentional parenting. And so we are going to go through 4 principles that you need to know for intentional parenting. So I'm just going to list them for you real quickly. Number 1, your kids belong to God. You are just a steward. 2, lead them by example. You cannot give your kids what you don't have. 3 is going to be spend time with your kids. Time communicates value. And 4, train your kids. You're their primary teacher.
Amen. Years ago, I was in a grocery store, and I saw a mother having a little argument with a little 5-6-year-old somewhere there. And this little boy was screaming at his mom. I was fresh from the bush at the time, fresh out of Africa. So I grew up in a place where you don't see kids screaming at their parents. I mean, lightning will come. Come on, somebody. And then I heard this kid say to his mom, "I hate you." And she started crying. And I remember thinking, "Oh my God, this is crazy." And then the little kid started running around the store in the aisles. Now watch this. The kid came close to the aisle where I was standing in. And I just couldn't help it, y'all. The African in me came out. I said, "Go back to your mother." And after that, I told my wife, of course, when we got married, I said, listen, we're getting married. We're going to be intentional about raising our kids. I have a vision for kids that are well-behaved. We talked about it. So Impact, as we begin today, I want you to write this down. This is the big takeaway for this message here today. Raising godly kids does not happen by chance. It is a result of intentionality, vision, and prayer. Raising godly kids does not happen by chance. It is a result of intentionality, vision, and prayer. This word here, to be intentional, simply means done by design. Raising amazing kids, raising kids that are respectful, does not happen by chance. It's done by design. It's done by vision.
Yeah. So I had a similar impression, kind of in the opposite way. Years ago, a long time ago, I remember seeing this family. We were out one day, and I saw this precious family with these young children, and there was probably about three of them, and they were so well behaved. And I remember watching them, and I was like, wow, they're so well behaved. They were being so respectful. They were like saying please and thank you, and you could just tell they were so honoring to their parents. And I just found myself just staring at them, just watching them, like, wow, so amazed at the way that they were behaving. And that changed my world. I remember coming home and talking to my husband about this as well and saying, this family and these kids, that's how I want our kids to be. I want our kids to be well-behaved and respectful. And I want to be able to have people look to us as an example. And we feel very blessed today that we go out to the malls and we go out to restaurants and we go to parties, and we've had people come up to us and say, wow, your kids are so well behaved. And every time it touches my heart, and it makes me so happy that we made a decision so many years ago to be intentional, have intentional parenting. Now, let me just say, we do not claim to have perfect children. They're not perfect. And we are by no means perfect parents at all.
Especially me. I get in trouble a lot.
But we made a decision. We made a decision, and we are seeing the fruit.
Yes. Yes.
Now through our children's lives. And we are so blessed and thankful to God for that.
Amen. So let's jump in. Number one, your kids belong to God. You're just a steward. This is the fundamental principle to parenting. If you don't understand this point here, the rest of them won't even make sense. Your kids belong to God. God has just loaned us our kids. Isn't that amazing? They belong to Him. Human beings don't own other human beings. That's slavery. These kids belong to God. God owns them. They belong to Him. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. And she made a vow. She made this vow. This is Hannah speaking. O Lord of the heaven's armies, if you look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I'll give him back to you. I'll give him back to you. I'll give him back to you. You don't give back something unless it belongs to them in the first place. I'll give him back to you. He'll be yours for his life, for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. Please write this down, Impact. When you understand that your children belong to God, not you, you consult God on how you raise them. You don't just do anything around them. You just don't say anything you want around them. You just don't act around them the way you want to act, because they belong to God. They are God's in the first place. Please write this down also. When you accept the truth that your children belong to God, you understand that your number one responsibility is to introduce them to their Creator. When you understand that your children belong to God first, then you also understand that your number one responsibility is to introduce them to God, to their Creator. They belong to someone. You've got to let them know we are a different people. We are not our own. We belong to God. Our family belongs to God. Our kids come to us all the time. I want to go for a sleepover. Everybody's doing it. I tell them, we don't do what everybody does because we belong to God. It's very clear in our house that we are a different people. We're a different family. We don't do what everybody else does because we don't own ourselves. We belong to God. Hallelujah. So the whole world could be doing something, but if our God has not told us to do it, we're not going to do it, and we're not going to be apologetic about it. Come on, somebody. Teach your kids this. We're not going to be apologetic about this because we belong to God. And if they belong to God, we have to teach them the Word of God, devotions, and teach them the difference between convictions and options. Teach your children the difference between convictions and options. Coming to church is not an option. It's a conviction. As long as you live under my roof and you're eating my food, you're coming to church. Come on, somebody. I need a little help right here in this place. Because this is changing in America. Let me tell you this impact. If you teach your kids that coming to church is an option now, when they go to college, Jesus will be an option. If you make church an option, not a conviction, they'll depart from the house of God. That's why I need everybody in this place to go speak to every niece, every nephew. Tell them we belong to God. We begin our week with God because we give our first fruits to God. Sunday is the first day of the week, not Monday. That's why we come to church on Sunday, because we're giving God our first fruits. Come on, somebody worship with me in this place. Hallelujah. Aren't you so glad that, you know, some of you like me grew up in homes where they put three-piece suits on us on a Sunday and we were going to come to church. Whether we liked it or not, they were going to drag us to church. Come on, wave at me if that's you. Come on, come on. Now listen, the values we have today, the reason we can tell or would distinguish left from right is because they put something in us. Let's carry that on to the next generation. The last thing I want to say on this point is that when you understand that your kids belong to God, the next thing you have to do is actually do what Hannah did. Give them to God. The most powerful prayer a parent can pray is, Father, I give my children back to you. I turn them over to you. Do whatever you want to do with them. And I'll tell you this, this is the place of peace. Statistically, it is said that many parents worry about their children. Some are in depression and anxiety, worried about their children, fearing accidents and fearing this and fearing that. When you turn over your kids to God, now they are God's responsibility, not yours. Come on, somebody. Come on, let's clap our hands and give Jesus praise. Now you don't have to worry all the time. Of course, you have a responsibility. You have something you have to do. But you can turn them over and go to bed peacefully, knowing that your God is in control. Somebody say amen.
Amen. All right, let's go on to the second principle of intentional parenting. It's a mouthful. All right, number two, lead your kids by example. You cannot give your kids what you don't have. Lead your kids by example. We can't give our kids, we can't give the next generation what we don't have. So we need to be mindful of this and prayerful. God, show me those things that are blinders that I don't see. 1 Corinthians 11, 1-2 says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. Paul here is talking to the Corinthian church, and he is saying some really important things. There's three things he's saying here. Number one, he's saying, imitate me. Can we say that? Can we imitate, can our kids, can the next generation, can they imitate us? Can they do what we do? Are we being that good example to them? The second thing he's saying is, remember me in all things. When your children, when kids think of you, how do they remember you? How do they think about you? Wow. Do they remember you in a good light and behaving well and being a good example, or is it not such good memories? Number three, pass on traditions. Do we have good teachings and good traditions to pass on to our children? These are all really great questions that we need to be asking ourselves. Please write this down. Our kids don't do what we say. They do what they see us do. Wow. Wouldn't it be so much easier if they just did what we said? Our kids don't do what we say. They do what they see us do. So in 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." We need to be good examples of all of these areas of life. We need to make sure that in all of these areas that our children can do what we do. Wow. So speech, can they do what we do? Well, do we go around complaining and gossiping and murmuring? Is that what they're hearing? Or are they hearing encouragement and life-giving words, and they can copy that? I remember years ago, I made a point in my head, because I started to kind of be aware of how many times I said no, and I would just say no a lot, like everything, no, 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 and God just made me aware.
Mommy, can I do this? Mommy, can I do this? Mommy,
yeah.
Can I?
Yeah, I was like, it was just like, no, or my first reaction, you know, can I, you know, wear this, or I don't know, whatever it was, but maybe those no's were warranted. You know, maybe they really should have been no's. But I started to be aware of my language and think, wait, I need to flip the script here. Instead of no, not yet, not now, let it be yes, later. Because it wasn't like a no for eternity, right? It was just like, not right now. So I started to flip it. So they're not hearing no so much. It was yes, but we'll do that later. Actually, this even happened this morning. I was saying to the kids, they came in, they're like, you know, can we build Legos and stuff? And we're like, we got to get ready for church. Like, we got to go. So yes, but we'll do it later. You know, it didn't have to be a no. So just being mindful of your speech, even in those small little things. Number two, conduct. Are we the same inside our home as we are outside our home?
Wow.
This really speaks to consistency.
Wow.
It speaks to our true character and who we are. Are we being the same inside and outside the home? These are things that we need to ask ourselves. And sadly, we have a generation that is growing up and they don't like church. In fact, they hate church. Why do they hate church? Because they are seeing different people inside church and outside church.
Wow.
When they're at church, they see their parents, they see these people they look up to, and they are amening, and they're like, yes, and they're even saying it to the kids, this is how you need to be. And then they go home, and they're doing the exact opposite of what they were taught. And these kids are like, well, what is that? Why should I even care? Why should I go somewhere that it's hypocrisy?
This generation here doesn't like anything that's fake. This generation here can smell a phony from 1,000 miles away. Amen.
It's good. And three, love. Do we know God, who is love, so we can accurately and purely display his love? This is the example we need to be to our children, the pure love of Jesus. Remember, children, they're not going to just automatically catch that zeal that you have for God. It's not something you can just say and tell them to do. They're going to watch you. They're going to listen to you. And they're going to capture that zeal for God by watching your zeal for God. One of the best ways that will help your children fall in love with Jesus is serving God. They are going to see your faith in action. They are going to see your love for Jesus in action. Serving God is such a tangible expression of your love for God and in the kingdom of God. And here at Impact, we have a huge servant culture. And let me just tell you, we don't beg people to serve here. We are by no means begging people to serve. We consider it an opportunity for people to serve in the house of
Hallelujah.
God and to be able to sow into the kingdom of God eternal seed and fruit that will last forever.
Come on, let's put our hands together right here. That's good.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Wow.
Amen. Wow. So be an example of serving and have your children serve. I'm so happy that we have a great youth group where our youth leader encourages the youth to serve. How many youth are in here? I know it's an early service, maybe not, that are serving. Praise God. For a 9:30? Yes.
Yeah.
Can we give them a big hand clap?
Amen.
Amen. They are serving in the house of God, and I have seen their hunger grow. I've seen the connection and their connection with their leaders and in the church family grow. It's amazing.
And by the way, statistically, it is said that 8 out of 10 high school students will never come back to church after they've gone to college. But the statistics flip for kids who serve in church before they go to college.
Yeah.
They have a reason to come back to their church home because they connected with people as they were serving. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Their faith is real. Their faith is being walked out. They see a real God. All right, number four, faith. So do we have a faith that is rooted and unshakable? Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Ask yourself these questions today when you go home. Number five, purity. Do we have a fear of God that causes us to follow his moral compass? Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Let's prayerfully ask God to show us what those blind spots are. We want to just charge our church family today. We want to charge you to be that example. To be that example that the children will do as you do, not as you say. Wow. We have an amazing church family here, and we just want to charge you to be mindful of the things that you're speaking, the things that you're saying, the things that you're posting, the things that you're wearing. These are all important things, because let me just tell you, there is always somebody watching younger than you.
Yeah.
There is always a younger person that is watching your example. So let's be a good example to them.
Somebody say amen. Just adding to that, somebody asked me one day, what is your secret for church growth? You know, you guys are excellent pastors. The church is growing. What are you doing? How are you preaching and all those things? And I said to them, I said, simply, you know, my wife and I decided when we started this church that we simply wanted to be examples to our church members. We wanted our church members to be able to follow us in the way we handle our marriage, the way we do things, the way we parent. This was our simple decision. We just want to be examples. Come on, somebody. So impact, and I say something to you, it may seem a little crazy to some of you in this place, but let me declare it here. For some of you, the greatest shift that you experienced in 2019 is to graduate from being a church member to a spiritual son and daughter of this house. Yeah. Because the church is not corporate America. The church is a family. The church is a family, which means you need to give us permission to be successful. I think the worst thing someone can ever do is to be jealous of their own pastors. You're going to end up the way your pastors are. Come on, somebody. That's why those churches that press their pastors down, they're happy when pastors are poor. Come on, somebody. They're all poor as well, because it starts from the head. Come on, somebody. As the head goes, so does the body go. Hallelujah. So study what God is doing in us. I want to charge, and you may be 87 years old, but God has given us the responsibility to be your spiritual parents. We take it seriously. We cover you. We pray for you. Somebody say amen. Now, we have 3 minutes. And we have 2 points to go. Let's go to number three. Spend time with your kids. I'm gonna say this one a little quicker so I can give you a little more time. She's got such a mama burden here. Spend time with your kids. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous." And then he says, "Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." He will never leave you nor forsake you. This is one of the most powerful scriptures ever. You know, Moses is not just commanding the people to be strong and courageous. He's not just saying, be strong, be courageous. Sometimes people just don't know how to be strong. Sometimes people just don't know how to be courageous. But he's showing them, he says, be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. Here's the reason. Because the Lord is with you. And because he will never leave you nor forsake you. Courage and confidence are not a product of self-motivation. They are the product of the presence of God, the presence of parents, the presence of fathers, the presence of mothers. You want the confidence in your kids to grow? Just be present. Time. It's not about gifts. No, gifts are good. You can buy them stuff, but be present. We need to get parents in America to stop just pursuing the American dream and forsaking their families. We need parents to come back home again. The difference between confident kids and insecure kids. It's parenting, the presence, quality time. That's why we have a generation of young ladies that are sleeping around with anyone that's walking around because daddy never affirmed them. And there's a void that's inside of them. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Confidence is not a product of self-motivation. I'm confident, I'm confident, I'm confident. You can say that 22 times or 200 times. It's the presence of fathers and mothers that affirms a child. Ultimately, time communicates value. And if you work all the time and tell your kids, I love you, they're looking at you and they're saying, no, you love your job and me on the side. Hallelujah. No, you take it.
It's good. It's good. All right, number four, train your kids. I'm going to try to run through this quick. Train your kids. You are their primary teacher. You are their primary teacher. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We are called to raise our children. We are called to teach them. We are called to train them. I'm going to give you 5 points on training your children. Does that sound good? Here we go. Number one, they do not come into this world knowing right from wrong. They don't come into this world knowing right from wrong. Sometimes people get so upset at children when they do something wrong, instead of realizing it is our responsibility to teach them. So when they do something wrong, we have to guide them. We have to teach them.
Let me jump here real quick.
Sure.
And talk to my cultural parents in this place. Talk to me, somebody. Anybody ever seen the faces of cultural parents when you make a mistake? The faces. Sucking their teeth. Anybody here? Well, these kids should not be expected to just know what to do. You're wounding them deep. Our responsibility is to teach them. I promise I won't interrupt again.
No, it's good, please. Proverbs 22:15 says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline is far from it. You need to think of your children like a compass, and our job is to constantly redirect our kids back to north, back to Jesus. Redirect them. We need to raise up our children in the fear of God, so that even when mom and dad, even when you are not around, they are concerned with pleasing God,
amen.
With pleasing their King, with pleasing their Savior. Amen. All right, number two, our battle is not with our children. They are not our enemies. They're not our enemies. When a child does something wrong, let's not turn in anger at them like they're out to get you. They're not out to get you. They just need to be taught. They need to be trained. We have a responsibility to train them, to teach them. Remember, we're not in a spirit. We're not in a battle against flesh and blood. We are in a spiritual battle.
Come on.
And so we need to take that to thought and take that to heart and make sure that we are turning them back to Jesus. Yes, we're training them physically, we're training them mentally, we're training them emotionally, but all of this is changed when their spirit is changed. Spirit that is filled and led and surrendered to God. That is our mission. That is our goal.
That's good.
When things go wrong and you see they haven't done right, that is when you use those as training moments to redirect them. Ask yourself these questions when something goes wrong. Is this a reflection of me? How do I lovingly redirect them on the right road? How do I point them back to Jesus? Number three, if children only hear what to do, what not to do. Let me say that again. If children only hear what not to do, they will never learn what to do. Don't let the only thing that you say to your kids is what they've done wrong. They need to hear just as much, if not more, what they're doing right.
That's good.
Make sure that you are encouraging and edifying and pouring into your children those things that they are also doing right. Great job. You did such a good job. Thank you for cleaning. Thank you for picking up. Thank you for saying please and thank yous. Thank you. If we just focus on ridding our children of all of their weaknesses, they're going to be left empty.
Wow.
Do we want empty kids?
No.
We got to fill them back up. We got to edify them and encourage them. Do we have time for the two more?
Yep.
All right, here we go. All right, four, some practical boundaries and safeguards. I'm going to read through these quickly. Always require please and thank yous. Hold your kids accountable. Keep the disciplines that you have set. If you said, if you do this and this, you're going to get this taken away. And if you made a good promise that, you know, hey, if you do this, I'm going to do this. Keep your promises. Keep the disciplines that you've set. Have rules. Sounds simple, but some families don't have rules. Have rules. Kids feel safe and protected when they are surrounded with boundaries. They feel that protection. They feel cared for. Limit electronics. This can, amen.
Amen to that.
Yes, in fact. Yep. This cannot take the place for face-to-face relational, spiritual, and intellectual growth that our children need. No food in your rooms. No food walking around. Let's have some order and bring order into our homes where we eat and when we eat. No TVs and phones in the rooms at bedtimes. You will have all the passwords for all of the electronics. Know every password and let your children know you're gonna check in on them. Know the shows, the movies that they're watching. Know everything that they're into. Know the music that they're into. There's lots of great websites on reading the entire movie before they go see it. Plugged in, check it out. Know everything they're going to see. Be involved in your kids' lives. Know the friends that they're going to. Know, like we said earlier, the sleepovers. If they don't have the same values of you, it's a no-go. Have conversations with your children about modesty, about clothing. Teach them all about their eye gates, their ear gates, their words. Don't let anything slide. At the end of the day, don't let anything slide. Be very involved in your children's lives. It's hard work, yes. What I just said, it sounds like a lot of hard work. But can I just tell you that there is no price tag on protecting our children?
Come on.
Amen. My children will ask me over and over again, can I watch this movie? And if I haven't had time to preview it and look through it, you know, I say, you gotta wait. I just don't have time to look through it right now. You gotta just wait. And they have to wait and they gotta be patient because they're not gonna be watching something that I don't know what's in that movie. All right. Number 5, have conversations with your child. Deuteronomy 11:19, I'm gonna run through this quick. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house and when you are walking by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You are gonna talk with your children all the time. In Deuteronomy 11, it talks about the wonders of God. It also talks about the commands that God has given us. And he says that it is the adults and the parents' responsibility to share those commands and those wonders of God's goodness with the children. It's the adult's responsibility because they didn't see it and they didn't go through it. And so we need to make sure when we're talking with our children that we don't have separate conversations about life and separate conversations about God. And when we talk to them about God, it's all weird. It is all one. Yeah. Everyday life conversations are always including God and are not weird and are just daily when they wake up, when they come home from school, when they go to bed, when you're eating, you're talking to them about life, about God, and it's all one conversation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's continue to direct them to our Creator. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus. Let's celebrate Jesus. Please stand if you can. And this week, we're going to make all our notes available on our website. LJ, can we make sure we do that? Amen. We're going to make all those notes available on our website. Amen. Now, if you're here in this place, and you have a son, a daughter who is not walking with the Lord, who is departed from your house. If you're here, you know a niece, you know a nephew who is not walking with the Lord, departed from the house of God. The next 1 minute is going to shift destiny in Jesus' name. I feel the presence of God in this place. Paul, lift up the piano. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. Jesus, we give you praise. We give you praise in this place. We worship you, Jesus. We give you praise. Come on, just begin to call them by name. Hallelujah. I'm going to shout 1, 2, 3. And I want you to call out that name. If it's several names, just call them out. We're going to call them out together like blind Bartimaeus. So we're going to call out. We're going to call them back into the house of God here in the sanctuary. Here under this anointing in the name of Jesus. Call out that name. Call out that name. I have some nieces and nephews I'm going to call out as well in Jesus' name. The presence of God is in this room. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Impact. I need some saints in this place to call out. I know you have some names out there. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. So, Father, we take dominion, authority in this place in the name of Jesus. We call forth our sons and daughters back to the house of God. Every niece, every nephew, we call them back today in the name of Jesus. We declare that 2019 is the year of salvation in Jesus' name. We declare a shift right now. In Jesus' name we pray. We all say together, amen and amen. Every eye closed, every head bowed down. You can't leave a place like this without saying yes to Jesus. Ultimately, God is our Father. If you don't know Jesus, you're an orphan spiritually. Today, you're going to gain a father in Jesus' name. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to just throw your hand up. And I'll pray with you today. You'll begin a new life for Jesus. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hands, 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 hands. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for those hands. 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 If you lifted up your hand, just lift up one hand high so we can get you a Bible. I want to make sure we get something into your hands and we don't miss you. Now together, let's pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ, you're the Lord and Savior of my life. If you prayed that prayer today, you're saved. I want you to find that connect card. Flip it around and in the back just check and say, I gave my life to Jesus today. Amen. Impact, God bless you. We love you. You don't want to miss next week. Amen. God bless you.